Okay, on with the sermon. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's wonderful to hear. It's so nice to see you all, and thank you for being here. Because I know it wasn't easy for you to get here today with all the traffic and parking problems, with all the things that's going on. So I'm so happy and blessed that you're here with us here today. We're continuing on in our story as we go through the book of Mark. Last week we saw a definition of being called out in the first paragraphs of this book of Mark. Jesus was called out by God and then Satan. And Jesus was called out by the Jewish people. And he himself called out the apostles to the mission to share the good news with the people there in Israel. We concluded with an understanding that we as Christ followers now are also called out into his service as well. When I was young, I remember a superhero. And Jesus is, for me, better than a superhero. But I remember a superhero. Anybody like watching those superhero movies? I know some of you do. I probably watch most all of them. But the superhero that I grew up with, one that I really kind of liked and resonated, I've never seen him in a long, long time. I used to wake up on Saturday mornings and turn on the television and watch this super strong, you know, like me, good and courageous hero fella. And I got a little slide here that I'll show a picture of. Anybody know who that is by chance? You really are impressing me here. Because they just don't make movies of He-Man no more. I'm waiting for him to show up on the stage one time. But yeah, that is He-Man. He was one of my heroes. When he got into a jam, he would stick up his sword and yell out. Anybody remember what he used to yell? By the power of Grayskull, I have the power! I got a little slide. See if it does it here. Isn't that awesome? Now if you're not motivated now, there ain't no hope for you. That's my He-Man in that respect. Well, today we're going to see the power of Christ revealed. Speaking of power is something that we all try to get a hold of. I know across the street at the Charge coffee shop, I'll tell you what, I bet you they go through some of that Monster and that caffeine drinks and stuff like that because people... They feel that they need more power in that respect. And I like power myself. You know, I look forward to, you know, just using up every little bit of energy that God gives me for his purposes and glory and help my family. But power in another way. I when I was young, my first car was I have an emblem. I left it at home, but it's a Maverick. A Maverick. And for Christmas one day, my wife went and got me a Maverick emblem because that was my very first car. It was a 1973 Maverick, and it had a 302 small block V8 engine in it. And the car all together with the engineering only weighed 2,500 pounds, so it could scream. It had all kinds of power in it. I love to hear the power. I love to be near the power. What was your first if you will, car, your first dream car, if I would think. What was your first dream car? Anybody want to give an example of what their first dream car was when they were growing up? Not you, Betty. I know you got your Model A right now, and you're pretty happy with that. But she had it in the parade out here the other day. She liked that old Model A. But who else? Who else had a dream car growing up that you think? Well, yeah.
57 Chevy.
57 power. It just reaped with power. Anybody else had a dream car? Yeah. 69. Well, you and me are very, very similar. When I was young, this was my dream car. I didn't have it. Do you hear that engine? Yeah, buddy. That's power. That's a powerful V8. This was a 1968 Firebird. That was my dream car. I love to hear that powerful big engine too. It may not be efficient or even smart or cost effective, but I'm sure it is something to see. Now in front of us here, we have all these beautiful cars, and I guarantee you I'm going to go out there and get to touch each one of those because I really enjoy that kind of thing. With power, I love power. So now we're going to talk about power in an amazing way that Jesus presented it as a young Jewish man to the people there in Israel. So please hold up your Bibles, if you will. Let me see your Bibles. And turn in the Pew Bible to Mark 121. And if it's Pew Bible, page 887 of God's inspired and His infallible and His living Word. But let's start with prayer. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this message today. Lord, I pray that it makes a difference in our lives in some small way. Lord, it is all about You. Watch after us, Lord, now as we spend just a few moments digging a little deeper and learning what it is about Your faith walk, Your power that You presented to the Israelites back then, and the power that You present to us here today. Lord, we love You, and it's in Your precious name we pray. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. So, in this first act, we find ourselves now in the town of Capernaum. Capernaum, Jack, remember being in Capernaum? Yeah, we were there. I have a slide here to kind of depicts what Capernaum is all about. You see on the left-hand side it says Capernaum, the town of Jesus. And then the lower part of that is a little map of Israel. And you'll see that it's up in the northern part there. And it has a picture on the bottom that shows a statue of Peter. We saw that statue. And then up above it is a synagogue right there at Capernaum. But it's located, again, on the north side of Galilee, and which is the northern part of Israel. When we visited a few months back, it was so cool to step into Jesus' storyline and feel His presence in a very small way. In our first verses today, starting at verse 21, this is the Jesus' story. It says, they went into Capernaum, and right away He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and began to teach. There they astonished at His teaching, because He was teaching them as one who had the authority and not like the scribes. Then a man with an unclean spirit was in their synagogue. He cried out, "What do You have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have You come here to destroy us? I know who You are, the Holy One of God." Verse 25 says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Peace, silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit threw him into convulsions, shout with loud voice, and it came out of him. They were all amazed, and they began to ask each other, "What is this? A new teaching with authority that He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey Him?" At once the news about Him spread throughout the entire vicinity of Galilee. Stop there. So, last week, we read where Jesus had selected His first apostles and where John the Baptist had been arrested. And I'm sure that brought a lot of sorrow to Jesus even, because He was just baptized by him just shortly before that. Matthew's account of this same story, because remember we had all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're reading through Mark's, but Matthew's account of this same story says that when Jesus got word that John had been arrested, he returned to Galilee. He moved from his hometown of Nazareth to the lakeside village of Capernaum, nestled at the base of the Zebulun and the Naphtali hills. This move completed Isaiah's prophecy, which was written hundreds of years earlier. So Jesus was now where He was supposed to be, and He chose to display now for the very first time His power as the Messiah in this Jewish synagogue here in Capernaum. The next 24 hours or so will now catapult Jesus into the limelight for all to see. The congregation at Capernaum listens to Jesus' teaching, then responds with astonishment and acknowledges His obvious superior authority, if you will, even over that of the scribes. Now, according to the Hebrew tradition, the scribes, they were scholars of the Bible who interpret to the people, almost like paralegals or lawyers in that respect, going through the law of the day. They were like the paralegals or the scribes were, in that they would go through the law and interpret it for the people. Jesus was quickly recognized, though, as being superior to even the scribes. And they didn't just go through it and nit and tittle. They memorized it. They knew the law back then. And Jesus was presenting Himself as even greater than the scribes back then. And thus, the intellectual power of Christ was revealed to them that day. Notice also that Jesus is recognized by even the demons within a man who acknowledged that Jesus has the power to destroy them. And by the way, he says, notice the demon said us in the middle of that. So there wasn't just one demon inside that man. He had several demons inside them. And he had the power to destroy them, and that he was the true Holy One. They acknowledged that about him. It is one thing when a friend or a bystander stands up to witness about you, like maybe I did with Jack over here today. That's kind of, I love Jack. He's my friend. He's my brother. And I acknowledged him in front of the crowd. But it's another thing, though, when a bystander or even a enemy of sorts witnesses for you. But it is totally a step up, though, as Jesus presented to himself to the people of Capernaum that day and to this demon. The demons were recognizing who he was. Immediately, Jesus takes charge of the demons and he casts them out in front of the crowd. How would you like to be there that day and to witness God in the flesh doing what he was doing, casting out demons? Jesus went there to proclaim himself as the Messiah Savior that they were intently waiting for. And what was an amazing demonstration it had to be to see now not only the intellectual power, but now the power even over the demons of Christ revealed that day. They saw some amazing feats, and I'm sure it got their attention real quick. This verse here also shows clearly that the demons existed then, and you got to know, demons exist today too. Our Bible tells us that angels are walking amongst us and we don't even recognize them. And based upon this here story and others that we will see, sometimes people are even possessed by demons. This is real, brothers and sisters. We don't see what we don't see. We don't know what we don't know. But by faith, we believe in God's text here to say angels are real and demons are real. His story lesson here today continues on verse 29. It says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and he raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve him. Verse 32 says, when the evening came, after the sun had set, they brought him to all those who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town now was assembled at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus had all the power in this situation. He was never taken by surprise. When I was in Capernaum, as the picture showed a few months back, I saw the synagogue with all its grandeur. And you can see it there in the upper right-hand corner, the little pieces of it that might be left. Right adjacent to it, though, was the spot where they believed Simon Peter's house was. Verse 29 says here that they immediately went from the synagogue to Peter's house, indicating that it was very close indeed. The fact that Peter's mother-in-law was the one that was sick should put to rest to the idea that some people think that the apostles were single. This is his mother-in-law. It was obviously that they were not. This should cause us to realize the now also ever more important cost that these apostles laid out and they gave to God, knowing that they were going to be sacrificing their families as they were going about spreading the gospel. The Great Commission is that important, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm not telling you to leave your mother and your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children. I'm not telling you to do that. But recognize it is that important that these people stepped out, left everything behind to spread the gospel, and we should be considering that as well. The fact that Jesus not only here expelled demons, though, but was also an amazing healer surely got people's attention. Notice how quick she went from being deathly sick to now serving food for them. He not only healed her, but he gave her remarkable energy to do it. I know a lot of times when I'm recovering from an ailment, the last thing I want to do is any work. I want to lay around for a couple more days to recover, to get that energy back. But Jesus gave her, not only healed her, but gave her the power. People were amazed, and they went and gathered all the sick that they knew about as well. Demon possessed other people that were having problems, and he brought it to Jesus. I have seen people get healed myself, but never with such an impact and authority. What a joy it must have been to witness. Jesus was now God in the flesh, and he was presenting himself to the people that day. He started his ministry now in a huge, huge way. He's taking no prisoners. He's laying it out for them. I am the Messiah. Verse 35 continues. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up. He went out and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. Simon and his companions searched for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let's go to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come, to preach." Mind you, he's healing too. But the main reason he's there is to preach. Notice that Jesus went, though, to a deserted place to pray. It was before even sunrise, it says, and it was intentional that Jesus did this. Jesus was alone and he was praying. The apostles didn't even know where he's at, so obviously he got up before they were getting up out of their bed, and he was going to this place to be with his Father in heaven. He knew he had a lot on his plate ahead. He knew what was going to happen. He was standing up a new ministry that would change the world now. And he needed to be filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit in doing so. And he does that through prayer. We need to take note here, brothers and sisters. So many times in our lives, it seems that we are just overwhelmed with activity. Overwhelmed with life's burdens. In the last few days around this town, I have met and talked to many people, praise the Lord. Several of them, though, said that they didn't have time for church. And I would argue that that is exactly why they should, though, be in church. And let's see where here we go. And let me plead with you, church. Make God your first priority. Many people around here, they want to spend time with God, but they feel they don't have time. Or they recognize the Lord as their Savior, but they don't pray. It's very unfortunate. It shouldn't be that we meet with God only when it's convenient and when you have extra time. Do not forsake spending time with God, especially when we have struggles and strife. Like Jesus demonstrated in these verses, even though he was in the midst of all that business, find yourself a deserted place in the middle of the chaos and pray. Allow God to come alongside you in your daily struggles and let the Holy Spirit fill you up for the challenges that we have ahead. Amen? Now, amen means you agree. So I say again, amen? Okay, good. Verse 39 continues. It says, this is our last verse. It says, he went into all of Galilee, preaching in synagogues and driving out the demons. Then a man with leprosy came to him on his knees and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved to compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. "I am willing," he told him. "Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Then he sternly warned him and sent him on his way at once, telling him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for you, your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Yet he went out and he began to proclaim it widely and to spread the news with the result that Jesus could no longer even enter a town openly. But he was out in the deserted places, and they came to him from everywhere. Leprosy, if you don't know, is a terrible, terrible disease. Even today, thousands of each year are diagnosed with leprosy. Otherwise known as Hansen's disease, it can be cured with a multiple of different treatments. However, in Jesus' day, it was thought to be incurable, and infected people were segregated to keep them from possibly spreading it to others. Since leprosy affects the nerves, they have a loss of feeling or sensation as they live their life. And therefore, any scrapes or injuries or burns or anything like that, they go unnoticed and get infected. Almost when you're low of sugar, you got diabetes. My father had diabetes. One of the biggest problems with diabetes is you lose circulation in your legs and you don't feel the pain when you stub your toe. So many times someone with diabetes, they end up getting their toes cut off because they don't feel it when they kick something, and therefore it gets festered up and it gets to get cut off. Bad circulation affects these kinds of things. That's very similar to what I think this leprosy is. I've never had it, never seen anybody with it, but it sounds like a horrible thing. And advanced leprosy can include paralysis, crippling of the hands and feet, shortening of the toes and fingers, chronic ulcers, blindness, loss of eyebrows, and even nose disfigurement. People didn't want to be around that. There were body parts falling off these people. They were beyond just being defiled. They were put away. And now Jesus touched the man. And he healed the man's leprosy. He saw with compassion his plight. The man pleaded with Jesus to change it, to cure his infirmity, and he did. But then he told him to go to the priest, because back then it was the law of Moses that said, even then the priest didn't even touch the people, but he inspected their condition. The priest was more than just a priest. He was like the doctor, the physician, the lawyer. He was everything, and still that way in some third world countries today. But here, it was a law, though, that they had to get their bodies inspected and declared unclean or unclean by these priests. But they wouldn't touch him in the process. But Jesus, again, had compassion for this man's problems. And Jesus has compassion for your problems, too. Jesus told the man not to tell anyone. I would bet it was because the crowds were just getting too riley to manage. However, I am sure that it was just too much for the man to contain himself. Imagine if you were effectively on death row like this man was, and then miraculously healed. I know I probably couldn't help but to tell my family and friends, and I'd probably be posting it out on Facebook and Instagram, and I'd probably be shouting from the rooftops, "I've been healed! I've been healed!" And I'm sure you would be too. It is a time to celebrate, praise the Lord. And this man, so he couldn't contain himself. So in our Bible verses today, Jesus healed the first man from being a demon-possessed. Then Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many of their demons here in this one 24-hour piece. Jesus healed them because he cared for them. He showed his love for them. There's no record of Jesus ever turning away anybody who asked for his help. The power of Christ was revealed that day in a big way there in Capernaum. Effectively, these amazing and miraculous events, though, were marked the starting point, just the starting point of his ministry. And he was intended on spreading the good news, gospel, in a very real and physical way. Jesus was proving to them and now us today that he is the great physician, that he is the Savior Messiah that they were all waiting for, and that we should all recognize. Jesus knew that by meeting their physical needs that day, by loving them and healing them, the door then would be open for him to speak to them about an even greater purpose and mission, to bring eternal salvation, to offer it to them so that their souls can be in heaven. We see the same pattern throughout Jesus' ministry. He would heal somebody, and then he would use that interaction to present the truth to him. He would feed them, and then he would tell them about heaven. He would wash their feet so they would humble themselves and come alongside them in their service. We need to be doing the same, brothers and sisters. We need to be following the pattern of Jesus in this ministry that we have here in Orion. He has blessed us with this church. He has blessed us with this flock, and he has blessed us with these neighbors that we need to reach out and touch. How can we step up, people? How can we learn to be more like Jesus and love the people, feed the people, comfort the people, so that they too will consider hearing the truth about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Within each one of us is the power of Christ revealed. That is even what you got in your own self that even brought you to this church today. The Holy Spirit is working actively in your life. And like Jesus, we need to be going out into the deserted places. We need to be praying for the Holy Spirit to fill us up to the point that our cup runneth over and it pours out on the people that God sends our way. That is the Great Commission. That's what it's all about. As Jeremiah read earlier in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them." We got a baptism right there. "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of age." So that is our charge now, brothers and sisters. Jesus has equipped you. Jesus had demonstrated for you. And Jesus is with you now. This afternoon and this evening, we have now this wonderful opportunity in front of us at this fall festival to touch others here with Jesus' compassion and love. And I know many of you feel that maybe it's not your calling to step out and touch people, step out necessary and present the gospel, to argue, to present the love as evangelists. But he told all of his disciples, not just the preachers, not just the evangelists, he told all of his disciples to go. And that would include you and me here today. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, and we're almost done here, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That is a wonderful, wonderful verse quote that we should all internalize. And maybe you would say it with me. Let's say it twice. Let's say it together. I'm going to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Say it with me. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." One more time. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do you believe that? Jesus wants you to make this Christian thing real, starting today. Are you willing to step up and trust him in this? So as we close now, please rise. We recognize that Jesus is the power, and we recognize that he gives us his power to do amazing things. Will you consider shoring up your relationship with Christ today, strengthening that, and allow the Holy Spirit to overflow your cup and empower you for the work that we have again today? But it always starts with a profession of faith. And so as we sing this last song, Amazing Grace, if God so inspired you to take up that calling if God so inspired you to accept His mercy and grace, accept His gospel message, if God so inspires you to join His church or to get baptized, while we sing this Amazing Grace song, would you consider coming forward? Please.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.
Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your precious words here today. And Lord, let us learn from Your experience. Learn from what You present here. Understand it, Lord, so that we can use that in the ministry that You've called each and every one of us to be part of. Heavenly Father, empower us today. Give us Your peace during the times that we're nervous and scared. Give us Your power, Lord, to do things that even surprise ourselves. Lord, for it is all for Your glory. And Lord, we love You and we thank You for being with us here today. Watch after us, Lord, until we meet again. It's in Your precious name we pray. Everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Go in peace.